Hi, you guys. This is Richard Sachs, your host on Lost Arts Radio. This is a special broadcast, and I think you'll understand the reason we're taking the time to do it. And it's audio only, but I'm hoping it'll be very valuable for you, and you'll see how we're going to talk about some things about America, but it applies to really to the rest of the world. I want to start out by giving the context in terms of America, not just because that's where I'm sitting as usual to do the show, but because America is significant in the world now and for the last couple hundred years, because it was founded on the principles of government existing just to protect individual freedoms. And I know it hasn't lived up to that, and there's still an opportunity. I don't think it's too late, but it was very importantly founded on in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and Federalist Papers and other places. It was talking about governments being justified and allowed to exist by the people that formed them voluntarily. And what they were for is to protect the country against invasion and to protect the individual rights of the people who lived in the country. And that was about it. And in America, that was written into the founding documents. And government, federal government at least, was given only very specific powers. And there was no confusion about whether that implied other powers. It specifically didn't. And in the 10th Amendment, it talks about the powers not specifically given to the federal government don't belong to it. They belong to the individual states, which were actually individual countries when they decided to form the federal government, and to the individual people that live there. But things have evolved, you know, in a negative way since then in many ways. And one of them is that the government has assumed at this point that it has the right to hurt or kill you for your own good and take away any of the rights that it thinks you shouldn't have. And including it has the right to mislead you and censor information that you're not supposed to hear, and that it decides that you don't. I don't think that's in the enumerated powers of the founding documents, but that's kind of what's happened. And people in the government who are supposed to watch out for things like that are not, for the most part, doing that. So governments withholding vital information, misleading us on purpose, working with industries and corporations to the point where it's almost indistinguishable from them now, and many of its assumed subdivisions are actually for-profit companies when you look into the legal basis of them. So where does this come from, you know, this degeneration that's happened to the country that's supposed to represent freedom and be an example to the rest of the world? And in fact, in the Declaration and the other documents, it says you don't just have these rights in America, you have them because you're a human being. It doesn't matter where you're born or not. You might want to be careful exercising the rights that you have if the government's going to kill you for it, but you do have the rights anywhere where you might be when you're listening to this program. So the problem originates at levels above, in general, above the visible officials. And you might not even believe where these agendas come from. It took me decades to really dig into that and find out in great detail. Many of the people working in government wouldn't believe who they're working for either. But at this point, the governments are infiltrated with people who are serving these agendas at all the different levels, and they're controlled by not their conscience, but maybe things like blackmail and bribes and their own blind belief in authority figures, including the higher up controllers of government agency and in media and in the authority figures that tell them what to think. So this direction is suicidal for America and the countries that we're supposed to be inspiring. And there's a lot of momentum behind it, but that doesn't mean that it can't be reversed even now. I think there's still time, and that the key to reversing it is you becoming conscious of how that's done and of who you are. So let's take an example for today's brief show that we're bringing you in addition to the regular schedule. And I think one of the best examples right now is the technology represented by Wi-Fi and 5G and Internet of Things that the government is so enthusiastic on rolling out everywhere, including the current president, who thinks 5G is great, but 6G would be even better. And the Internet of Things is all these jobs, which is true. And I think his motives are good, but he doesn't understand what's behind it. So it's really up to us. And if you want more background on that, you can listen to Barry Troer and Mark Steele and many other people who've been on our show explaining what's wrong with that technology and why it needs to be replaced by things that are human-friendly. And Mark Steele in particular talks about, from his technical experience, how it's weaponized based on harmful frequencies, and very well documented at this point. One of the people we had on in the past was Susan Clark, and that was because she's been teaching people about these things for a long time, and specifically has had recently a lot of success in actually getting these things reversed at the local and state level, on the local level, I guess, in particular. Even though the local and state officials say there's no way out, you have to submit the law, particularly the Telecommunications Act, says that you have to submit to your own destruction, and even complaining about it is not legitimate. So we needed Susan's expertise to come and help us, and rather than my going quickly through her background, I want her to tell us why she knows about these things, what her background is, how she's become educated. And then we want to use the rest of this broadcast after her introduction to give you specific tools at the local level, at least in America, maybe to some degree in other places too. So this is going to become a very important, useful broadcast to pay close attention to, listen to as many times as you need to, and then use it where you live. And we'll all do that. So welcome, Susan. Sorry to take so much time, but I wanted to kind of set up the context of what we're doing.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And you're absolutely right on target, and I agree with everything you said, and wholeheartedly support your background there. My background is in part that I spent 10 years studying at the Harvard School of Public Health Postmasters. I was a research assistant there. I was digging out studies from the Countway Medical School Library at Harvard, and so went back as far as the 1880s to actually look at radiofrequency microwave radiation studies. So my background was in the science, but then as I came forward, I did take some legal courses as well, law courses, and because I realized that the crux of the matter is that we need to know a combination of science and law, also technical matters, that will enable us to stop these wireless infrastructures. So to get right down to it, as you say, people have been misled to believe that they're not allowed to protect their own bodies, they're not allowed to protect the people around them, and there's nothing further from the truth. In fact, even looking at the Telecommunications Act, which everyone says involves massive preemptions, well, there's a preemption clause, but it's grossly misrepresented. We can actually use the Telecommunications Act preemption clause to our benefit. Few people realize that. Some people point to the Supreme Court Daubert rule, D-A-U-B-E-R-T, as something that was disadvantageous to the people and advantageous to industry. Well, in some ways that's true, but we can also turn it around and use it to advantage. Furthermore, these new decisions that have just come from rulings in the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals are absolutely phenomenal. Yes, we do have the capacity not only to protect our own bodies and the bodies of those who are, you know, in our protection, those in our family, people who we love, but also our environment, animals, plants. We have those capacities, not only the right, but the responsibility. And no, governments don't have rights, they have authorities, but those authorities come from where? And how can one government take away another government's authorities without that government saying, wait a minute, you can't take away my authorities? So I think you wanted to look first at the Telecommunications Act and how it's wildly misrepresented and how we can use it to our benefit. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. And I actually went into the city council meeting it was a while back that they were having in the town where I live. And I talked to them before and during the meeting and made a presentation during it. And their whole point was You know, those are very nice ideas, but it's very clear that the law is we can't do anything, and we can maybe decide to have the towers, this was way before 5G, but we can decide to have the towers situated on places where they'll pay us a few dollars a month rent, and that's really all we have left to do. So this meeting is just going to be about how do we collect the rent for all the towers they're going to put up. And you can say whatever you want because you live here, but you know, basically they didn't listen to anything and they just texted on the cell phones.
Okay, so they just misrepresented the law entirely. They just gave away their own authorities, but they can't do that, you see, right? You know they can't. We know they can't. When we see things that are completely irrational occurring in law, we kind of can go back to our own internal moral sensibilities and say, wait a minute, don't I have a right to like stop someone from hurting my body and the bodies of people I love? Of course I do. So what's wrong here? Now, let's actually go to the preemption clause that they did not cite to you. And by the way, if you had said to them at that moment that they denied having authority over, you know, to protect you mm-hmm. and your health and your environment, you could have said to them, quo warranto, which is Latin for by what authority? In other words, you have to prove it to me. Show it to me. And they could not have proven it to you.
Wait, you mean they have to say by what authority they have no authority to protect you?
Yeah. I mean, it sounds crazy, but yeah, they have to show by what law they're actually claiming that they no longer have authority to protect you.
And I guess they point to the Telecommunications Act.
Yes, but where? You say, okay, so where? Show me. Show me the actual language.
I suspect none of them have actually read it, actually, you know. That's my guess.
They may or may not have, but you're probably your attorney in your municipality or county is familiar with that preemption clause. And let me state it sort of generally here. No state or local government or instrumentality thereof may regulate the placement, construction, or modification of wireless communications facilities based on the environmental effects of the radio frequency radiation therefrom, insofar as it complies with FCC's guidelines against such radiation. That's a kind of summary of it. That's almost a quote, okay? Very close to a quote.
They talk about environment and health, right? I mean, that's what the general understanding is.
No, but it doesn't. Now, here's the thing. So you give them that law, and then they say to you, well, and you point out that environment doesn't mean health. In fact, environment is everything other than, beyond, or not the human body, right? It's 180 degrees different than
it's what's around us,
the human body. Okay? And so how can they say that something that is not the human body includes the human body? That's irrational. Okay?
Right.
So that
right.
means they have a greater duty to prove. Now, the thing is, when you challenge them on this, you actually have to tell them, when you're looking at preemption law, you have to understand, here's the federal government interfering with state and local governances and taking away their authorities. But they can't really do that.
This is misunderstanding of the supremacy clause, basically, right?
The supremacy clause, and also it's where the state and local governances should have immediately arisen and should have said, wait a minute, under the 10th Amendment, you can't do this to us because on the other side, we are required to protect the safety and health and environment of our residents. So we don't agree to this. That's all they had to do, raise a little finger and say, we don't agree. But keep in mind that Congress did not preempt health effects.
Okay.
You see, in preemption clause, you must use only a plain reading of the language. Why? Because in preemption law, there are considered to be fields of preemption. In other words, this thing is preempted, that thing is preempted. So what actually is preempted? Three things: placement, construction, and modification of wireless communications facilities solely on the basis of the environmental effects. That's all that Congress preempted. So what did Congress not preempt? Congress didn't preempt the health effects of the radiation. And by the way, this preemption clause is wonderful because it actually concedes, it admits that there are environmental effects. Well, if there are environmental effects, then of course there are also health effects. Mm-hmm. So it admits that right there in that telecommunications law, and we can use that to our benefit.
You mean it admits it by implying it, since it says you can't complain about it?
No. Where it says that the environmental effects of the radio frequency radiation, there it is right there.
Okay.
It says it straight out.
Okay.
That there are environmental effects.
In other words, the wording is not, in case there are any environmental effects, the wording is the environmental effects, assuming that they're there.
The environmental effects, straight ahead, absolutely. So let's use, first of all, the preemption clause to say, wait a minute, it says that there are environmental effects. Mm-hmm. That means if there are environmental effects, then there are health effects, okay? Right. We reason that, okay? But additionally, there is no field of preemption of health effects, none whatsoever. Now, okay, are there judges that after the fact were incorrect in saying, well, environment means health? No, they can't do that because, see, that judge then is making law where there is none. That judge is pretending to be a legislator. That judge is interfering with Congress. That judge is overstepping his or her bounds. So those decisions, which were actually limited, didn't really quite say that. But people say that they said that. They even exaggerate what those judges said in the Third, Fourth, and Ninth Circuits.
Okay.
Those judges were incorrect, first of all, and those judges didn't really say that environment means health. No, it doesn't. Look at Black's Law Dictionary. Environment does not mean health, okay? Mm-hmm. And it cannot mean health. Look at the actual sciences that apply to environment and health. No, environment means what is other than human health.
Right.
Okay? So that's the first thing. Health effects are absolutely in the regulatory authorities of state and local officials, period, across the board. And yes, there are health effects because the preemption clause itself implies so, because it says overtly that there are environmental effects. Now, that's not all. Remember, there were only three things that you couldn't do based on environmental effects. Placement, that's when zoning or boards sit around and say, hey, I think we'll put this antenna or that tower here or there. That's called placement, right? That's done sitting around, right, in a boardroom, right,
mm-hmm.
or in a hearing room. The second thing was construction. That's when guys actually get out in a certain place and they start to put up equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing is modification. Modification is where maybe they add an antenna, they change an antenna, they replace an antenna that's not working or whatever.
Right.
Okay, that's modification. Guess what was not there? The most important word of all. Operations. The operations of wireless communications facilities across the board, how they work, the radiation that they deploy, the levels of radiation they deploy, the levels of radiation or energy that are deposited upon human bodies.
Wouldn't it also include turning it on?
Excuse me, hold on. Okay, let me finish this thought. The operations regarding the radiation that is then deposited upon trees and bees and birds, that all is positively left in the regulatory hands of state and local officials. Congress did not ever remove operations from their authorities. And people back in 1996, when I was working on this, when the law had just been passed, informed me that the word operations had originally been in this preemption clause and that it was removed by the Commerce Committee, positively leaving all discussion and authorities about operations in the regulatory hands of state and local officials. Now, for example, if you look at the California Senate Bill 649 from a couple of years ago, this bill was being shoved through. Its first vote was unanimous support But then we all got in there and we fought and fought. Well, I wouldn't say fought. It's not that we fought. It's that we brought them positive scientific, technical, and legal information that caused many people not to vote for it the second time around. It still passed, right? But guess what was in the... it passed the California Assembly and Senate. But where was it stopped? One wonderful health advocate found out where Governor Jerry Brown was going to be at every moment thereafter, because Jerry Brown was going to have to sign this bill into law. And he looked at his entire touring schedule and went where he was at every moment, and finally met up with Jerry Brown one day and held his hand for 15 minutes and told him why he had to veto Senate Bill 649. And the very next day, Jerry Brown vetoed Senate Bill 649. The reason I bring this up, though, is that in that bill were four words: placement, construction, modification, and operations. Okay, because there are four things that pertain to wireless communications facilities. Four things. The operations. And those operations positively are in the hands of state and local officials. Now, I was informing people all over the country of this way back in the 1990s. There was one little town in Massachusetts that decided gently to test and see whether operations really were in their regulatory hands. It was the little town of Berlin. It's spelled like Berlin, but they pronounce it Berlin. And they wrote in their local ordinance that they wanted to keep, they would, if the telecommunications company would keep power densities in nearby structures at less than 10% of FCC's guidelines, they would allow this structure to go up. And the industry agreed to it. Nobody ever challenged the law. That was one example of regulating the operations, and it exists to this day, unchallenged by the telecom industry or the FCC. So it's time that state and local officials, first of all, rise up and say, wait a minute, under the 10th Amendment, we never had to agree to your preemption at all. Number two, we see that we still have thoroughgoing regulatory control over health effects. And so we are going to protect our people's health and safety. And by the way, let's remember that the Telecommunications Act itself is a preemption, sorry, is an amendment of the original Communications Act of 1934. And guess what? At the very beginning of the Communications Act, the congressional purpose, the congressional intent is stated, and it is, quote, to protect safety and property, unquote. There it is. Okay? And the amendment cannot change the very intent of the law. So, therefore, safety is absolutely in the regulatory control, and so is health, of state and local officials. And they need to rise up into their regulatory authorities with pride and say, we're going to do this, just like that little tiny town in Massachusetts did. And we're going to rise up in our full authorities, because why? Authorities are obligations. It's not merely a choice of, well, we don't feel like fulfilling our authorities today. No, you've got to fulfill your authorities. If you're in a position of public responsibility as a public official. So that's where I inform people that, no, you've got to protect health and safety. Now, let me talk a little bit about the Ninth Circuit case, because it was fascinating. In that decision, which I believe was from 2004 in San Diego, it was considered that, quote-unquote, health concerns are preempted. Huh? How could they be preempted? It explained why. It is considered that health concerns are preempted because they are irrational. How interesting. Concerns are irrational, but health effects are real. That's why when people get up in front of their town or state boards, and by the way, yes, I have helped stop 5G in total states, and we have done that. Okay, it's not just municipalities, it's not just counties, it's states as well. And I have stopped infrastructures all over the country and beyond this country at all levels. Okay, so anyway, when we come back to this, people are mind controlled, literally mind programmed to express concerns. This didn't arise from within your own mind that you wanted to express your concerns. You were told that this is what you had to do. This is told that what you were supposed to do. This was told that what was nice to do to your public officials, not realizing that concerns, worries, fears, alarms, and so on are all considered irrational. And therefore, number one, do not count under the law. They don't matter. They're immaterial. They vanish into the ether, or they're thrown into the trash, or they're dismissed instantly the moment you use that word concern. At any point in your testimony, even if you simultaneously cite scientific facts and technical facts and legal facts, doesn't matter. If you use that word concern at any point, they're going to use it against you in order to throw out your entire testimony so that they don't have to abide by whatever you tell them they must do. I've said this over and over and over in hundreds of municipalities and counties and states, and it seems that people are so programmed, mind-controlled, to use this word, concern, that even when they know why and they know the Ninth Circuit ruling, they persist in using it and destroying their own efforts. If you look on, you know, almost every website that's out there about 5G, you'll see that word concern. You'll see people misleading others to use that word. It's such a shame, really. So what I tell everybody is the first thing, and I learned even by the late 1990s, the first thing that I trained communities to do is you're never going to utter this word. Of course, you have a First Amendment right to say anything you want, but if you do say this, you're admitting that it's a mere irrational basis on which you oppose this infrastructure or many infrastructures. Mm-hmm. You're conceding that you are coming to the public officials as an irrational person. And see, it gets a little bit worse because in some municipalities, I've seen that this has actually been used so as to call people overtly mentally ill and paranoid. And by means of that, take away their very standing before their public officials. In other words, when your standing is removed, this comes from the Latin, stare, right? Or you consider the Spanish, perhaps, estar, right? To estar is to stand, is to be at some place. And if you lose estar, if you lose your standing, you do not exist under the law. As if you were a mentally ill, incompetent person, as if you were merely a young child. So this is why it's essential that people learn this very crazy but basic principle. You must come with your full human being that you are, with your full intelligence, with all of the knowledge and expertise that you have gained in your lifetime so far. You must not concede that you are merely a young child or an mentally incompetent person. Furthermore, because that Ninth Circuit decision actually said it is considered that health concerns are preempted because they are irrational, you don't speak about health concerns. Speak instead about actual health effects that show up in the science, that show up in daily life, in many people in your community and in yourself. Talk about actual health and other biological effects. And then substantiate them with science. Give people this scientific study, and this one. Now, what will public officials say then, we're not experts and we don't have any capacity to evaluate these studies or even read them and understand them. And so, therefore, we can't really consider them. No, they're wrong. At that point, what you do is tell them that these peer-reviewed studies, and it's best if you do provide them peer-reviewed studies, are Supreme Court admissible under the Daubert rule, D-A-U-B-E-R-T. And once you tell them that, you follow up and you say you must not only admit these onto your record in this case, you must consider them and you must evaluate them. You must use them in your decision-making process. Now, I'm empathetic, I'm sympathetic, you can say it, with the fact that you don't have expertise. Thank you for admitting that. So what you need to do is go to your public health officials who work for you and set up a forum or two or three and let them do the evaluation with experts before you make your next decision. Until that time, because you've admitted that you can't evaluate these and because you know that you must now under the Supreme Court Daubert rule, you must now declare a moratorium on all new antennas of any type, whether 4G, 5G, close proximity, or any other kind of antenna, until you learn from your public health officials what this is really about. We've used this countless times. One time we got an 18-month moratorium. Many people have used this all over the country to get 6-month moratoria and year-long moratoria. Why not? It really helps. And that way everyone can learn and be ready for the next stage, right? So we've recently had, moreover, two new rulings, one of August 9th and one of October 1st. And these are from the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, and they're absolutely phenomenal. Because 5G and other close proximity antennas, such as 4G close proximity antennas, are considered by those courts, by those rulings, to be new kinds of technology. I hate to use that word. I hate to use the T word. But the courts decided that there needs to be an entirely new NEPA review, NEPA meaning National Environmental Policy Act. So when these public officials come back and say, wait a minute, but, I thought that environmental effects were preempted. Well, environmental effects for, 3G back in 1996 were preempted, kind of, but not really. The operations were never preempted, right? Mm-hmm. But that's no longer the case now for 4G and 5G. Now they do have to go through NEPA review. And so a few days ago, some of us, including a former military lawyer and some others and I, together wrote a cease and desist letter, just a draft letter that could be given to an attorney in a municipality or county. And that attorney could consider that letter, look at the rulings, and revise it per his or her wishes, and then submit it to that local government. To good effect. A cease and desist, or the attorney could take a milder approach and say, we really would like a moratorium, or, we're going to demand a cease and desist, whatever. Whatever that attorney chooses, that attorney could do. So we've provided that to people on scientistsforwiredtech.com. Again, Scientists for Wired Tech. It's scientists, plural, the number 4, wired with a D, and tech, D-E-C-H, all one word, .com. And so people can go there and get this letter, or people can get it directly from me if they like. They can reach me at health expert, that's one word, health expert, at scientistsforwiredtech.com. And then they can take it from there. Now, as a result of our putting this cease and desist draft letter out to the public, another group purporting to want to stop 5G actually wrote to everyone yesterday saying, oh no, you can't stop 5G with that. That's all wrong. No, these people are exaggerating. No, you can't say it. Well, that was false. So our former military attorney actually called the people who put that email out to everyone while asking for donations, by the way. These people put out this discouraging message that was false and then asked people for donations for that, in any case. So our former military attorney actually called the person who had put out that discouraging message, and they had a long discussion about how this person who put out the discouraging email had actually misread the letter about this and the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals' August 9th decision. In fact, this person who put out the discouraging message wasn't even aware of the October 1st decision, which is crazy. I mean, in other words, before this person had even read the documents, he went out and told everybody in the 5G opposition community, no, you can't stop 5G on that basis. And he was wrong. And he asked for donations for doing that. Anyway, that person also argued with this former military attorney that that the NEPA decision would have no effect on the law. And our military attorney replied to him, you don't understand how the law works. Okay? And you're talking to me about documents that you downloaded from the FCC website. And our military attorney was trying to tell this person who sent out the discouraging message to almost everyone in the 5G opposition community that these FCC documents and the rules, FCC rules, have been amended. They've been changed now. And this person would not even accept that there's a 60-day shot clock that it has been changed. You know, in other words, you have to do something within 60 days. So I just want to encourage people, you can use this. You can either take the strong approach and do a cease and desist, or you can demand a moratorium, or you can still take the soft approach and ask and beg and see what they do. You can say, here's the law, you have to comply, or you can say, please, please, pretty please, whatever you want to do or feel that you must do in your municipality, go ahead and do it based on these two new rulings. It's great. I mean, we're in a very strong position right now. So I just wanted to give people all that good news.
Yeah, that is good. So the question that I had originally wanted to ask you when you were in the middle of that was, when operations are not preempted, doesn't operation include turning the whole technology on, regardless
Absolutely.
Of how it's going to be? Right?
So they could just turning it on, turning it off, and the operations that occur in the meantime.
Okay, so that's a lot. So, judging from my experience of the attitude of the people there, that, like you said, were very mind-controlled to believe that they were not allowed to protest our own destruction at all. That would be illegal. If you show them that it's not illegal, and in fact, because of all the things you said, they're obligated to protect their citizens, and they say, well, you know, it's just going to be really hard. We don't have enough money. We don't know how to do it. So thank you for your 3-minute comment. And next. And which I think, you know, could happen in certain situations. What do you do?
Okay, great. And here's what to do. Because okay. It's an easy operation that we can carry out. And in fact, I mean, I do this almost every day for people in, you know, who are working with their local governments and state governments. If people want to write out, you know, their draft their 3-minute presentation, send it to me, and if they can give me a small contribution, because I do this all the time, I'll rework it for them, give them suggestions that will take it to the next level so that their state and local officials will know that they must do the right thing. So, for example, just in Montgomery County, Maryland, a few nights ago, you know, this was very important. This is a county that's very near to D.C., right? So it was very important that these people handle their hearing in the very best possible way, that they put their very best put foot forward. So some people came to me and they had me amend their or give suggestions on their drafts. And people called me back and they said, you wouldn't believe what happened. We've never seen anything like it. You know, these public officials, they were just kind of sitting there back in their chairs and they were chatting with themselves even while people spoke. And they were moving things around and obviously ignoring people who oppose what they're about to do. And one person who had an airtight presentation that had been gone through with, you know, a fine-tooth comb, who stated only matters of substance, of fact and law, and who had a jurat at the beginning of his testimony and more at the end. It was framed perfectly so that public officials would know that they must do what he was saying. And he would speak gently, too. He spoke very gently to them, but at the same time told them what they must do. And he said all of the public officials started paying attention, and they sat up in their chairs and listened. And afterward, the clerk came to him and said, you really gave a very important presentation. You see, they know the difference between mere whining with concerns and giving the facts and the law gently and telling public officials what they need in order to do the right thing. Because, yes, some public officials may be completely tied in with industry and paid off behind the scenes or whatever. They may be completely puppet-stringed. But there will be others who still have a moral fiber, who actually really would like to do the right thing, but have been misinformed about what the law says. When we re-inform them about what the law actually says, they're glad to know. They're glad to be empowered to help us and to help themselves. So, you know, let's do that.
So the initial three-minute presentation that you're going to give first up is really important, that has to be worded correctly, right?
Yes, and once people learn how to word these things well, they know forever how to do that much, much better.
And what about in the cases, you know, which hopefully aren't that many, that they give a great presentation and are even acknowledged for that, and then nothing happens? What do you do then?
Oh, that's great. I'm so glad you asked that question. Because then you take those laws that were cited, and there may be different laws that different people cite or different court decisions, right? And then you say, wait a minute, public officials, you failed to fulfill your obligations under such and such a law. For example, I work with lots of people who want to submit ADA requests. Great. Okay, that's federal law, right? The Americans with Disabilities Act. Or they could file under NEPA, the National Environmental Policy Act, or under the Telecommunications Act itself, or under the Communications Act, or under the Public Health Service Act Amendment of 1968. I mean, there are many, many laws that can be brought to bear. And so when public officials ignore those and they just brush them off, then we have the next step is we write a letter and say, wait a minute, you were supposed to fulfill your obligations under this law, and you didn't. So now, you know, you're in trouble, right? Because you're making yourself vulnerable to liability. And on that matter, by the way, there are people who, and I'm one of them, write notices of liability. And there is a 5G notice of liability that's been in preparation for some years now. It's very thorough, very comprehensive. It's not yet done. But, you know, when public officials have ignored and ignored and ignored and ignored their obligations under the law, the final step is, sorry, now you're liable.
So, and that's personally liable too, right?
Absolutely. They're personally and professionally liable for the damages that they cause people, or will be eventually, if not immediately. So, right. Yeah, so we have it all in hand. It's just, unfortunately, there's some people within the 5G opposition and other, like, smart meter opposition movement who sometimes discourage people and say, no, you can't do that. The law doesn't let you. And it's completely untrue what they're saying.
Why do you think they would want to do that?
I think that they're misinformed. I think that they truly do oppose 5G, but I think that they're listening to people who are listening to people who are listening to people who are listening ultimately to the industry think tanks. And let me give you an example. It's actually a funny story of how this occurs. So back in the 1990s, just as the Telecom Act was coming out, state and local officials needed to know what this new law was all about and what they had to do. So the industry would wine and dine them at these big banquet halls. Well, I managed to sneak in to some of these and have a very nice dinner. And after the very nice dinner, and there would be like hundreds of people in these rooms, and they were all public officials, everything from, you know, a municipality or a county attorney all the way down to the, you know, other local officials. And after dinner, the an attorney would stand up in front of all of these people and say, well, I have to tell you, the Telecommunications Act is some 800 pages long, and you don't want to read the whole thing. Now, first of all, that's kind of mind-controlling, and I'll just explain. Because, of course, every public official is going to think, oh, 800 pages, can't handle it. No, I don't want to know about it. Okay? And then the very next thing that the industry lawyer says is, so, you know, let me help you. I'll tell you what you need to know. Great. It's a huge relief to them immediately, right? Like, no, I don't want my eyes to ever touch the pages. I don't want to ever look at it. It's too long. That's the first thing that's implanted in them, that feeling. I don't want to ever look at this thing. And the second thing is, yes, please, industry attorney, just tell me in a nutshell what it's all about. Tell me what I need. So, you know, so they're manipulated emotionally right out of the gate. And then this attorney, the very first thing he says to them, and it's always a he, is, well, there's a preemption clause in this Telecommunications Act, and it disallows you from protecting, no, it's not from protecting, it disallows you from regulating on the basis of health effects. Okay, well, first of all, that's a big lie, right? It's absolutely false. There wasn't any judiciary decision at all back at that time, right? It was completely false. And the next thing he says is just so outrageous, it nearly makes me want to vomit. Sorry, I don't want anybody else to vomit here listening to me, but, I mean, it's just so ridiculous. I mean, we really should laugh. The next thing out of his mouth is, okay, so you're not allowed to regulate on the basis of health. Oh, he didn't even say health effects. He just said health. Therefore, you should tell your residents that they might as well not speak about health because you can't regulate on that basis. There it was, a pack of lies. In other words, he was actually telling public officials to take away their residents' First Amendment rights to speak. He was doing something that's totally unconstitutional and way beyond anything that the Telecommunications Act says. It was completely false and outrageous and way outside the law. How do we say outside the law in Latin? Because it's important to know this. Ultra vires. V-I-R-E-S. It's almost like virus, but it's, in fact, sometimes lawyers pronounce it virus, okay? Ultra virus or ultra virus. It means you are outside the law. You are an outlaw. And that's what that industry attorney was at that moment. He was not merely lying. He was outside the law. He was outside the Constitution. And that's where all of this, all of these lies that you continue to hear from, to this day, come from. It started right there at that point. So guess what I did? Here's the good news, right? So people started raising their hands to ask questions. So, of course, my hand is raised, and I get called on. And I said, you know, I'd like to quote that portion of the law to you. It says, no state or local government or instrumentality they have may place, you know, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And I said, so you see that the word health doesn't appear anywhere in there. And health is not preempted. Health effects are not preempted. Nothing about health is preempted whatsoever. So actually, you are required to protect your residents' health. And all of a sudden, all the attorneys, now I was in the very back of the banquet, right, because I had snuck in, remember?
Yeah.
Okay, so hundreds of public officials suddenly turn in their chairs toward me, and they start asking me questions, because now they know that they've been lied to out of the gate. Right, the very first thing out of this industry lawyer's mouth was a lie. And that's how And those meetings were in Massachusetts, by the way. So that's how in Massachusetts we had much, much more success, for example, than occurred on the West Coast. In California, people just went all along with whatever Silicon Valley wanted them to go along with because they all had their investments and they wanted to make money off of this. And it was hard to get through to people. People would just keep saying, no, not allowed to regulate on that basis. And I'd show them the law. And they couldn't see it with their eyes. Their eyes were shut as to what was right in front of their faces because they had heard it from so many people. I mean, it happened in Massachusetts, too, I'll admit. For example, I was in a hearing in Lincoln, Massachusetts. This must have been in about 1997. And everyone was waiting in line to testify or to speak. And the man in front of me said, "Don't you dare talk about health." Okay?
Interesting.
And I said, why do you say that? He said, "My attorney told me that if we talk about health, we're going to lose. So you would lose it for us. So don't talk about health." Okay?
I've heard the same thing, yeah.
Yeah. And in other words, he went even beyond what the industry attorney had told everybody. And now he's using fear tactics to try to tell. And I said, "Look, don't worry," I said, "I'm not going to be merely talking about health. I'm going to be talking about health science, actual health effects from health science. So don't worry." He said, "No, my attorney said you can't say that." Really? Really? Your attorney knows the Constitution? The Constitution's been changed? There's no more First Amendment? I can't say that? And, oh, he was so, pardon my word, but pissed. I think pissed is still allowed on the radio. He was pissed at me. Okay, so hopefully we're still within the bounds. Yeah. And so, of course, I got up, and did that discourage them? No, I actually helped that town win. I turned that town around to the point where public officials were so angry at the industry attorneys and their lies that they said, and they were joking. They said, "Why don't we have a contest? We have a museum, a modern sculpture museum in our town. Why don't we allow the telecom industry to come up with an antenna sculpture contest? And we'll put those models in front of our museum before we actually allow any antennas in our town." They were great. I turned that town around.
Wow. Well, I'm just kind of digesting everything you've seen and you've been saying, and I'd like to hit a couple of points that I think are really important in tying it together. And the first one might seem a little bit elementary, but for people that are listening to this, they're coming in many different categories. Some are citizens in their towns that want to know more about it, and if it's really bad, to help stop it. Others are within the power structure, so covering them both. The first one is, where would you recommend to find reliable summaries and details of health effects, and where to look up the Telecommunications Act in its original form and the 96th Amendment?
Sure. I mean, again, the Telecommunications Act is as it is, and you can just go online, you can put in Telecommunications Act preemption clause, and you'll get a lot of materials right from there.
Okay.
The lawyers know how to go directly to the code. That's like a breeze for them. You can also look up Communications Act intent, of 1934, if you want. You can go, but mostly I would direct people to Scientists for Wired Tech. And again, it's Scientists, plural, the number 4, Wired with a D, and Tech, TECH.com. And there's a new page that someone just set up that has my material on it. So if you go to that and then put /Susan, you'll find some of my materials. You'll find also on that website lots of good material. You'll find scientific facts, technical facts, and legal facts that will help you. If you write to me directly, I will help you write whatever you need for your particular situation, because obviously, yes, as you say, people are in very, very many different positions and situations. By the way, the word citizen originally meant denizen, which is a slave. So I encourage people never to use the word citizen, right?
Okay.
Rise up into
okay.
the fullness of who you are, right? And so, you know, you're a man or a woman living in whatever, yes, and
right.
I do,
right.
sorry for the duality, the gender duality, but yeah.
I've heard there yeah. are two genders, I mean, other people believe that too, so it's okay.
Right, right, and obviously there are people who are born with other, you know, multiple body parts and, you know, all the more power to them,
sure.
and I, you know, they're unique and wonderful. So, but define yourself how you want. You can define yourself as an expert in X, Y, and Z. You can come as the most, you know, bring your professionalism to bear on the situation, and then give a juror. You know, I attest and affirm under the, if you want to go so far as saying this, I always do, under the pains and penalties of perjury, you can leave that out if you like, that the following statements are true, accurate, I always like to add precise, but you don't
mm-hmm,
have to,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
within my personal knowledge. And then you go boom, 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 and you list all of those things, and then you provide the substantiation for those facts that you just gave, and then you give a closing statement or two that will absolutely make your public officials sit up in their chairs and know that they have just been empowered to do the right thing, to do what they wanted to do all along, because deeply at base, they want to protect themselves and maybe their own families.
Right. And the site that you mentioned, the scientistforwiredtech.com, that includes references for health effects as well?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You can find a lot there, and you'll find references here and there. I mean, there are nearly, or maybe a little bit more than now, 25,000 papers and at least 20,000 studies that have been done on radiofrequency microwave radiation. We're not talking about just EMFs. Generally, EMFs mean static fields. We're not talking about
right.
electricity here. We're talking about radiation, propagating wave. And that's why it's important always that we call it radiofrequency microwave radiation. That's what the studies are of. And we have so many that we actually have more than we have for lead, more than for cigarette smoking, more than we have for individual pesticides. And
mm-hmm.
so this is an established science. It's not merely a growing science. It's not merely a young science, because it's been around since the 1880s. And the first study that directly applies to 5G was done in 1927, at least the studies that I know. There could be one earlier that I don't know about. So this is a well-established, long-standing international science. And
okay.
no one can take an established science and say that it's, well, we don't really know. The moment you do that, you're gone.
Right. Right. Okay, listen, I know we're at the end of our hour, but I have three more points that I think are really important that I'd like to get your response on, and I think we could do it fairly concisely and still have it be useful. The first of the three is, let's say you're a city council member sitting on the board there on the council, and that you're the only one who really is directly in touch of how important this might be. Is there any specific advice, as opposed to what we've told to the general public, that council member should do as far as their sequence of action?
Thank you for asking that. Yeah, and the that person wants to empower him or herself with facts and law, and start sharing those facts and law with some others that might be most amenable to hearing those things, and try to create a little coalition and then a larger and a larger coalition within the council. And
okay.
use your residents, use your local residents to do that, so that you don't have to do it all on your own.
Okay. And what about if I'm a city attorney, and it's kind of sounding like what you're saying is reasonable, but there's all this pressure around me to just say all the reasons I can't do it right now and go to the next issue. What should I do?
I've seen many municipality and county attorneys stand up to the industry attorneys and say, look, I've got to abide by this and this and this law. Okay? So If you want to communicate with the industry lawyer because you want to find out what the liability might be, you want to find out, am I going to be sued if I do this? Because that's the role of municipality and county attorneys, right? It's like, who's going to sue us and who's going to win. They're always thinking that, right?
Exactly.
Say, okay, yeah. So say, okay, industry attorney, you know, what? Tell me, what would you do? What would you? How would you respond to this? Because I have this in my hand right now, and I don't know what to do. So tell me, and then you'll know who has the better argument. Not only that, you can see, am I likely to be sued on this matter, or am I not? In other words, not just I, but is my city or county likely to be sued? Because we don't really want to go through a lawsuit because it's very expensive, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, which side is, you know, is going to win here? We need to know the truth about what the law says.
Yes, a lot of them are definitely worried about being sued. They're worried about it taking years and years and years and ending up getting nowhere and bankrupting the city and all these ideas they've gotten from the industry that it's useless to pursue it.
And let's remember, those are fear tactics by and large, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and let's brush off some of the fear tactics, and we need to stick with fact, not fear. Fact, not fear. And every resident should always say fact, not fear. This is and the facts that we know. Here they are. Facts, not fear. Facts, not unknowns, right?
And the city attorney can always contact you and say, you know, is this a good thing to do for my city? And you can share your experience with that.
Well, I can share that, and I can also say, you know, I think that you need to be buoyed up better by your local people, you know, and if you want me to mm-hmm. work with them, we can work together to give you the best foundation possible so that you don't have to worry about, you know, your municipality or county being sued.
Right. You know, what all of this points to is what anybody can do, but it also highlights the fact that it seems to me somebody in your position is a really valuable resource that should be well used. You know, because the goal of everybody is to get this situation changed for the better. So I think what you've made clear is that people can contact you, healthexpert@scientistsforwiredtech.com, and that basically you're offering some kind of a experienced consulting in this particular issue. But also, if somebody just appreciates what you're doing and wants to help you survive and support you, is that an option? And if so, how do they do it?
I really appreciate you asking, and I always forget to mention things like that, but actually last night, for example, couldn't pay the electric bill because the credit card was run up to the top, can't pay the taxes. I mean, so, yeah, that happens, and it happens because, I mean, I've been totally devoted to stopping infrastructures for 30 years, and mm-hmm. I have to do that, and I'm going to do that. Regardless, so if people can help out, yeah, I mean, we're in a dire predicament, actually, and we'd really, really appreciate that. I mean, if people would like to do a PayPal, for example, it's actually my husband's PayPal. I don't have one. I stay away from electronic things generally, and I don't have a cell phone. I don't have a TV, right? But do have a computer, but if they want, they could write to his book place, which is sales, and he doesn't sell them anymore, but sales at antiwarhogpress.com, antiwarhogpress.com, and he doesn't sell those books anymore, but he still has that.
Okay, if somebody wants to make a donation, all they need is that email address for PayPal, right?
Yes, and then they should click that on the thing that says change and then send it as a gift to family or friend.
Okay, that way they don't lose a percentage of it too.
That's right, yes.
Okay. And the other thing that I assume could help is if they ask you for some help and actually pay you for it.
Yeah, if people would like some help, a contribution would be great, and I can give them other means if they want to pay by check. You know, sometimes people don't like to do things, I agree, you know, electronically, so that's totally fine too, and we can speak about that directly. So if people write to me and give me their phone number, I can call them and we can work something out so that we can get some great help right from the start, and not just from me, you know, because there are many people who are working together to help community residents to rise up and put their best foot forward so that they will have their greatest chance of success.
Right. So you can be like a network focus point to head people in the right direction and to help the ones that are appropriate to help. So we need to encourage anyone that wants to work on this issue in their community, whether you're a man, woman, or just person living in that community, not necessarily a citizen, as you pointed out, but anybody living there who's going to be affected by the whole thing, or if you're on a city council or a county board of supervisors, or if you're a city attorney thinking of all the reasons it's impractical to help people in this way, they need to get a hold of you. And so I think the last thing we need to leave them with in their mind is your email address one more time, and then we'll say goodbye in the break here.
Okay, and thank you so much, Richard. You were wonderful. Health expert at scientistsforwiredtech.com.
Okay. And that's Susan Clark with C-L-A-R-K-E, is that right?
It doesn't matter, but yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Richard.
Okay, sounds great. Hold on and we'll say goodbye here. Okay, everybody, that was Susan Clark. That went pretty much exactly like I hope it would, and it was the purpose, you know, was to give us a set of tools that are clear and sequential and really not vague at all, with a lot of specifics where needed. So whether you're a person living in a community that is considering putting in 5G, or they've maybe already started, and you have some awareness that it's going to be cataclysmic for health of not just humans, but other life forms as well. If you do the study, you'll find out that it has effects on all kinds of other life forms besides human beings. It's not a good plan, you know, if you are one of those human beings who doesn't want to have the effects. So whether you're just a person who lives in an area like that, or if you're listening to this and you're on a city council or a county board of supervisors or in a state government, anywhere like that, if you're a city attorney, there are things that you need to do to help the people in your community and yourself and your own family avoid this stuff. And the idea of what we've been taught to do, really, it's not your fault, but ignore these things and just assume that everything's too hard, that you can't break the status quo protocols and things like that because it'll just cost too much money and take too much time. That's not true. And now that you're hopefully aware of it, or beginning to be aware of it, or at least consider that it may be true, it really gives you a responsibility, even if you're right in the middle of the power structure, even if you're a person in the industry, in telecommunications, and like former FCC Chairman Wheeler was saying, there's just so much economic activity that is going to happen, and what he meant is profit for the industry, and he was right that there are billions of dollars at least at stake, and it's just immoral to go against anything that could make billions of dollars, right? Except that's not true, and money should not be our ultimate religion, because following it that way without ethics has bad results. Not just for the other people, but for you, because there's a deep law of nature that I'll mention here, and it has nothing to do with any beliefs or religions or philosophies or anything like that. It's built into how things work, and we haven't been taught this for obvious reasons, but the law says whatever we do intentionally to or for anybody else always comes back to us multiplied, and it's a time gap between cause and effect that makes people not see this right away. But it's really true. And, you know, I've been through it so many times in my own mistakes in life, and other people are experiencing the same thing, but it takes a while to become conscious of it. So the thing is, if you're working within the industry and you become aware that you're doing something harmful to your customers and the general public, you have a responsibility to correct your actions and do whatever good you can from within your position of power. Really important, not just for the other people. It's important for you and your own family and the health of your future to do what you discover is the right thing to do. I'm not just saying this. This is something that affects absolutely all of us. So if you're in that position, you're in a telecom company or anything like that, consider it seriously, even if you don't say anything to anybody, because you have to decide how can you correct your own course and start helping humanity? Because that's our job during the brief time that we're in the physical world, regardless of beliefs, religions, or anything else like that. If you're on a city council, same type of thing. If you're on a county board of supervisors, if you're working in a state government, if you're working in a health department, you've got credentials and people believe what you tell them. Now that you start thinking, oh, this, what Susan's been talking about might have some validity to it after the decades that she's put into it, it puts a responsibility on you to really learn about it, not just the acceptable references, but the real references, the ones that are daring enough and not industry controlled so that they'll tell the truth, and then to act on that. And if you're a citizen, and Susan pointed out the legal reason not to use that term. If you're a person living in a community and you care about the health of you and yourself, your own family, and the other people around you that are, in truth, if we get rid of this stupid idea that we have to fight all the time, they're really like your extended family. And if you care about that, then listen to this recorded discussion with Susan as often as you need to really let it sink in and then form a strategy. And what we ended up with is realizing that she's an incredibly valuable person to consult with. And I highly recommend doing that to fine-tune your presentation to your city council or whoever else you're talking to, and pay her something for the consulting. You know, I'm sure she'd do it for free if you are struggling and have no money. But if you have a little bit of money, make an offer, pay her something. I'm not getting a commission on getting her business. I'm telling you because it's obvious that that's what you need to do, so that people who are super valuable for the community and the world, really, that they're serving, that they're not struggling to pay their phone bill or their utility bill or to buy food or things like that. Let's give as much money as possible to the people doing this great work so that they can do more. Susan's one of those, and she can be reached at healthexpert, healthexpert, at scientists, plural, for Wired Tech, not technology, but tech, tech.com, scientists, the number 4, wiredtech.com, and it's Health Expert at that website. And let's get her a bunch of paid consulting so that she can be doing her work without struggling to survive. I think that's the main message, and that what we've been being told about, that you're not allowed to look into the health effects or use them as the basis to stop the development of and deployment of 5G based on the health damage, not concerns, but effects and damage. What we've been told about that being illegal is false. Listen, if you're a city attorney or somebody who believes you can't do anything, it was never true. And Susan is a person who knows the details of why and how, what you can do, that it's not impractical and impossible to prevent it from coming into your community. That was false. That was never true. It's been demonstrated. Get a hold of Susan, health expert at scientistsforwiredtech.com. Pay her for her help, whatever is reasonable in your case. And let's start turning it around and make it impractical for 5G to come into any community worldwide. I should have asked her more about what can be done in other countries that are not subject to the Telecom Act in the U.S. and things like that. But you can email her if you're in another country. Just send her an email asking what is the best strategy in your country and see if she knows, the same email address. That's what I would do immediately if you're in any country, in any other continent or the same continent, anywhere in the world. Do that, because it's very hard to find a real expert, part of the qualifications of which is that they're not compromised by defending an industry or any other label or point of view. They're just trying to tell you the truth. Any expert that has a motive other than that is not a reliable expert. And when you come across one, like Susan Clark, it's a good idea to take advantage and get the most benefit that you possibly can from that. I guess that's what I wanted to say, is just get a hold of her and get things moving in your own community for the benefit of all your neighbors and your own family. I think that about wraps it up, and thanks for spending the time with us. We're Lost Arts Radio. We've got shows every Sunday night that are educational guest shows that you might like to check out. We're on all the major platforms right now, but if we disappear from some of those, which is always a possibility, hopefully it won't happen, but if it does, find us at brighteon.com. That's B-R-I-G-H-T-E-O-N, like bright age or brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. If you want to go deeper into these issues of health and the related aspects of consciousness and things that we don't talk about in as much detail on the public forum, check out planetaryhealingclub.com. That's planetaryhealingclub.com. That's the access point to the private club where we're live every Saturday, and we have in-person interaction between me. I'm always there, so is Doug, and all the members of the club, and we can talk about anything you want with respect to health, any of these technologies that are assaulting health. It's not only EMF, as hopefully you know well. There's many. There are many, and they're using the same fear tactics. You need to make your own health and well-being as strong as you possibly can. And then the sensitivity issues are much easier to handle. We don't give medical advice because that's forbidden, and I'm not a medical doctor anyway. I'm just a researcher in health and related aspects that has spent more than half a century at this, and I need to share what I've found with you, ancient knowledge about these things that's been known since the beginning of humanity. And I've spent a long time, many decades, adapting that for current situations. And it'd be fun to have you in the live group. That's at planetaryhealingclub.com. There are small dues for that, which go to try to help us keep in operation with the Lost Arts Project. And if we can find enough money from clean sources, we'll build a school where these things can be demonstrated. You can see more detail of that at our nonprofit site, which is what will build and run the school, and that's Lost Arts, plural, Research Institute.org. Lost Arts Research Institute.org. You can also support us on Subscribestar if you want to. That would be greatly appreciated, and there are different levels of that you might be interested to look at. Subscribestar.com/Lost Arts Radio. That page was put up by Doug. It's easy to use. It's accessible to anybody right away. And it'll get you different levels of free things that you can have in appreciation of your subscription on subscribestar.com. And finally, I occasionally do, when time allows for additional support of our project, private one-on-one Skype sessions on sharing information, which is still legal. I'm not doing medical advice or anything like that, but this has transformed a lot of people's lives. And if you want help with your situation personally, one-on-one, then you can write to me about that, and I'll tell you how to get considered for one of those spots. And that is richard@lostartsradio.com. I think that's about it. Really appreciate your time. Please care about yourself, your own family, people in your community. Make sure 5G has gotten out of your community and or never gets in, hopefully, if you're in that position, because it's not a benefit to anybody, and it's not about downloading 10 movies at once. It's about other things. And if you want to know more about that, by the way, look at our free archives on lostartsradio.com or on major video platforms right now. Mark Steele, Barry Troer, Susan Clark, and Katie Singer, and a lot of other people have talked about the details of what not just 5G, but wireless radiation in general does to your body. And it's good for you to get your own education, because this is not being taught to people in the public educational systems. Just want everybody to be okay. That's a simple way of our, you know, explaining our motivation for this project. You and everyone else is too important to be ruining with this kind of industry fraud, and we need to turn it around. Even the people within the industry are just victims of programming in general, and everybody needs to be in the best shape they can be. So that's what it's about. Thanks for the time again. I hope I'll see you in the private club, planetaryhealingclub.com. Write to me and or Doug anytime, Richard or Doug at lostartsradio.com, and we'll see you next time.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on subscribestar.com. Just go to subscribestar.com/lostartsradio to find our rewards program, offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sachs, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our subscribe star levels are one of a kind and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has three weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on two YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, lostartsradio.com, where you can find the hottest news selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editor's picks videos right on their homepage. Visit Brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. On our site, you can also access our free listener forum as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sachs and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at PlanetaryHealingClub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Stay tuned, because up next, you'll get to hear a really great song by an independent artist that we're doing our best to support. Go to lostartsradio.com/music for the full list of all the great songs and bands that we spin on our audio-only podcast shows. If you're in a band and want to submit a song for consideration for airplay on Lost Arts Radio, visit my website at diamonddiscaudio.com for more information about the music placement, mastering, and mixing work that I do. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.